God sent us a 17-year-old cook. 17. To me, that's significant. Like, she turned 18 during the school year. But when she came in the fall, she was 17. Joseph was 17 in the book of Genesis. God can use teenagers, just like an adult. No different, eh? And they can do a man's job. She took over from a man. And I haven't heard one complaint about the cooking this year. And she came to do it as a volunteer. And I'm just so thankful. That's huge. That's significant. And I wanted to thank the Lord for that. So she diverted herself from going to a Bible school, diverted for 1 year to come cook. Next year she'll go to the Bible school of her choice. Another neat thing, God sent us more staff. My son Andrew joined staff in January, and we're grateful for that. Now there's somebody who knows a lot more about computers than any of us on campus did. So when there's a computer problem, Andrew, can you come to my office and fix this? I was working on conference, a year-end conference and graduation plans and stuff, and all of a sudden, wizard came up. Just a little box said wizard. And I click on off, and it just reappears. And I click on off, and it reappears. Andrew, can you get rid of the wizard? And he did. And I could continue my work. There are lots of planning going on at KBI. Lots of planning for future changes at school, significant changes. We can't share about them today, but probably in 1 or 2 weeks, you will hear about them. Looking forward to that too. For our scripture reading,
here it is. John 3:16, my favorite verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Isn't that neat? It's for whosoever will.
And God wants us to make his word known in evangelism and in missions, like we were sharing in the last service here this morning. And people phone up and say, what does the Bible say about the soul? That is fantastic. It makes me feel like just going and being a missionary in that village and just sharing the good news of God. It's so special. Because someday we will stand before the Lord, every one of us, no exceptions. Yesterday we went to the funeral of the previous cook at KBI. Was in High Prairie, so we drove to High Prairie and then we drove to Edmonton. He had been in ministry for 54 years. It's a long time. And in our mission, we're to sign every couple years a paper that says, I am willing to suffer hardship. 1 year before we ever came to KBI, him and I were doing a missionary journey together, and he was telling me that when he was young, they were traveling to this native community, and he said it would take 3 days. We were whipping in that day on pavement in an hour, that distance. But he said, it used to take us 3 days to go to this community in mud, and we'd get stuck. I never saw the pictures of it till yesterday. Massive mud, no gravel. Stuck at the river, have to camp there overnight with your little ones and a ton of mosquitoes. And I thought to myself, I don't even know what hardship is. And he's just so burdened that people get to know about God. And today he gets to see the Savior face to face, just like in the song we were singing in last service, last hour. Till the hour of our receiving promised joys with thee. Now he's receiving the joy face to face with the Lord that he loved. I was just weeping and weeping, just crying and crying. My hanky got all wet and I didn't have any more, and I still needed the hanky and I still needed the hanky. I was just weeping there as I was hearing and seeing what I heard and saw yesterday. God has given us a narrow window of time to live for him to make him known so others can come too to the Savior while there's still time. And so it's just a privilege to be at the Bible school and to help students to know the Lord better. That's the main thing. And the second thing is to help them to know his word. His word. Because that's where he reveals himself to us. It was great delight to me this semester when one student came to me and said, it's just the center of God's will that I'm at KBI. That just delighted me. That was recent. And I'm so thankful for that. And I would like to introduce the staff and students that have come. Not all of us came today, but we're thankful for those who were able to make it. Why don't you all stand and just stay standing? Can you all stand? Staff and students and kids. Can you all just stand? Okay. Just stay standing. I'm not looking for clapping. I just want them to introduce themselves to you. So why don't you say who you are and where you're from? And if you're a staff, say just one thing you do. They all do a whole bunch of stuff, but just say one thing you do. And if you're a student, say what year you're in. So start with Kara.
I'm Kara. I cook.
Okay. Next, Kara. It's Kara is Eva's daughter, one of our students' daughter. Okay, go ahead, Eva.
Eva, I'm from Gift Lake, first year.
Okay.
My name is
Cassie, I'm also from Gift Lake, and I'm in the second year. I did my first year 15 years ago, and did my first year. I'm Bobby, I'm on staff. I am dean of the single guy.
Kelly. And I'll just interject here. If you want to see them graduate, those two are graduating May 2nd, and you're all invited. Okay, next. And their friend Ben came to visit from Whitehorse, is it? And hopefully he'll be a student someday at the school. Okay. Thank you. You may be seated. Some of the students are sick today and weren't able to make it. We've made some adjustments in our program. Some had to go vote for their chief yesterday and aren't here. I wanted to especially welcome two more people. One is Peter. Peter, would you stand up? Peter's the father of two of our students. I'm so glad Peter's here, from Hobima. Thank you, Peter. And Rita, where are you, Rita? There. Rita is a friend, and I never met her until now. We've communicated lots, but she came to your church this morning. So it's so neat. So thank you, and we're looking forward to a wonderful morning together.
Hello, people. This is our band, and we're called Unshaken. And we called it that because I guess in our walk with God, in our faith, we want to remain unshaken. So, let's sing.
Tell a joke.
Okay, what bird can lift the most? A crane.
Never failing, let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope. Salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. Singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. In the secret, in the quiet place, in the stillness you are there. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you, 'cause I want to know you more. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you more. I want to touch you. I want to see your face. I want to know you more. I am reaching for the highest goal, that I might receive the prize. Pressing on, pushing every hindrance aside, out of my way, 'cause I want to know you more. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you. To touch you, I want to see your face. I want to know you more. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you. I want to touch you. I want to see your face. I want to know you more. In the secret, in the quiet place, in the stillness, you are there.
To say, you are the
song we'll sing forever, bowing before you, blessing your name.
Morning. My name's Eva Anderson. I'm from Gift Lake. It's a Métis community, and it's about 1,000 people there. And I have 2 brothers and 8 sisters. And the first time I ever heard about God was when there was missionaries there back in the probably early, late 70s, and they were Larry and Bernice Jaycox. And we used to go to youth nights there. That's the first time I heard it, and it was because my cousins asked me to go with them, so I did. From there, I continued going there every time they had youth nights, and plus they always used to take us to Bible camps and youth conferences. And that one time they took us to KBI for a youth conference. And at that time, when I went, in my heart I thought, oh, this is where one day I want to be. And I know it took a while before I came back, but I made it there. I accepted Christ at age 14, but as the years went on, I didn't continue living for the Lord. I went my own way, and then at the age of 19, I got into a relationship that it was only alcohol and it was abuse related, and so I was there for 19 years. So after I left that relationship, I moved to Edmonton to further my education, and then went back home, and I redid. The same cousins that had asked me to go to church, they came back to me and when I went home and reintroduced me to God, and so I rededicated my life. And so, but before I rededicated my life, after I had my last baby, she was probably 16 years ago, I started doing drugs and alcohol and all of that stuff. And like, I kept telling myself, oh, this is, I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit drugs. But yet, I couldn't, and it went on for a very long time. I was powerless over the drugs. So one day, just one day, like, I guess it was God working in my life that time. Something told me that this is the last day you're going to do drugs. And so it was like, when what that came into my heart, that next day I never did drugs and I never turned back after that day. And I guess it was God working already. He had a plan for me. So a year and a half after I applied, like in September, I applied for at KBI, but I kept kept putting off the application until the 3 days before school started, and I thought, oh, they won't accept me. So, but I went ahead because my cousins kept asking me, did you put it in? And I said, no, I didn't, not yet. So on the 3 days before, I send it out, and even before I got to my place, I got a phone call on my cell phone, and they said I was accepted. I was really amazing. But God does really amazing things. Like, I never thought I'd be able to quit drugs because I was powerless over it. And I thought, if I can quit, then I can maybe work for, serve God. But because I didn't have God, I had no power over what was going on in my life. But when I gave God my life, I surrendered, and he delivered me from the darkness of death, and it's been really good, and I've really enjoyed being at KBI, and I have learned a lot. Like, he has shown me how to live a better life, and things I never knew that were sin, or things that I never knew I was doing was wrong, and this has really helped me. The staff there have really opened my eyes to God's word and how to be a brighter light. Like, my light was dim for such a long time, but each year I can see that my light will get better. It'll get brighter as I serve God and he works in my life. There's a verse that I really like, and it's found in Isaiah chapter 25, verse 1. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. You know, God worked, God had a plan even before I knew it myself. And I praise him for today, and that I can be a light to my family, because I'm the only Christian in my family. So I just really would like to show them about God, that how awesome he is, and they can have the life that I have now. And I've amazed my family how I turned my life right around. They've been encouraging me. And so I hope that they do find Christ too one day with what I can show them. Thank you.
This song, this is kind of like a praising song, so feel free just in your heart to praise God. We'll just sing it for you. Yeah.
Here I am, humbled by your majesty, and covered by your grace so free. Here I am, and knowing I'm a sinful child, covered by the blood of the Lamb. And now I found the greatest love of all is mine. You laid down your life, the greatest sacrifice. Majesty, grace has found me just as I am, empty-handed but alive in your hands. Majesty, majesty,
unchanged by your love. In the presence of your majesty,
and here I am, humbled by the love that you give, forgiven so that I can forgive, and here I stand, knowing that I'm your desire, sanctified by glory and fire. And now I found the greatest love of all is mine. You laid down your life, the greatest sacrifice. And
majesty, majesty, your grace has found me just as I am, empty-handed but alive in your hands. Majesty, majesty, forever I am changed by your love. In the presence of your majesty, 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 your grace has found me just as I am, empty-handed but alive in your hands. Majesty, majesty, forever I am changed by your love, in the presence of your majesty, and here I am.
Good morning, and it is a very special privilege for us to be back here. It's been a number of years, I guess, since we've been here, but we've always looked forward to coming, and even though we've been here a number of times, I think this is the first time I've had the privilege to share here, and I appreciate the opportunity. I don't take it lightly, because in a time like this, on a Sunday Bible hour, then it's very crucial that we hear from the Lord, and that's been my prayer, that we would certainly do so. Much has already been transpired as such with regard to our worship to the Lord, and I want to share a burden that's been on my heart for some time, but in the last while it's been especially big. And that is, where in the world do we find full contentment? We all have a passion, we all have where our, what some would call our core values are, and our life circles around that. We do things, we attend certain things, places, and it's always because of what's on the inside of us, whether we really want to be there or not. And sometimes we can make excuses, we can rationalize, but by and large, we will participate in that which we really where we really think there's a value and there's the heart. And so I want this morning not to talk about necessarily our worth, significance, or security, but I want to share with us a burden on satisfaction, contentment in life. And there is such a variety, as I mentioned, of issues that we can participate in. And sometimes the choices we make, of course, don't bring us that fulfillment that we're looking for. But Solomon cried out when he said, "Give me neither poverty nor riches." Somewhere there's a balance to find the reality of full satisfaction. And then the Apostle Paul said, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am there to be content." And I want us to circle around that for some time. I got a few verses that we want to read from James. And some of my the second, third year students will know that this is probably where this kind of came into focus, and some of it they'll probably remember. But the verses there in chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, well, and 11 as well. James chapter 1, verses 9, 10, and 11. And my prayer is that not so much what I'm going to say, but that these basically two principles that I want to mention, that the Holy Spirit will get a hold of our hearts. I'm not here to shout off what I can, what I know, and so on. But I would pray that God, by His Spirit, would lead us into the thought that He has for us. Because I think that these principles can make a difference in our life. They have been, and they continue to do that in my life. God's, and again, it's God's Word, okay? Follow with me if you have a Bible there. If not, just listen. Verse 9 says, James 1, "Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat that it withers the grass, the flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away with his or in his pursuits." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And I would pray, Lord, together that we would hear your voice. Lord, that you would cause us to think and to allow the Spirit of God to impress upon our hearts what we need to hear, what we need to know. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for working in us to know you and to walk with you and to love you more and more. In Jesus' name, amen. What is our passion? Where do we look for contentment? And I would like to just briefly review this. We're not going to do an in-depth study here. But first of all, we find here in verse 9, "Let the lowly brother glory in his humiliation." Let the lowly brother. And when we think of lowly, we might have a variety of ideas as to what does that really mean. Most scholars say that lowly means poverty. He was poor. He didn't have the goods that society might recognize as him having a good position or a good placement and so on. He was poor from man's point of view. He may not have been rating too high when it come to the economic state of that situation of that time. But then the next. That might have been his condition, what he found himself in. But then the next word that says, "Let him," or "let the lowly brother glory." Here he is. He doesn't have much to go on. He hasn't done much to say for himself. But it says he is to glory. He is to recognize that there's something here that is good, that is beautiful, that goes beyond his condition, as it were. He is to rejoice in what he, you know, in his circumstance, whatever. His attitude is to glory, to boast, to be delighted, to find triumphant joy and satisfaction, to have a tremendous sense of value. Why? In his exaltation. Ooh, I love that. He doesn't rate with the people around him, but he is to glory. He is to find fulfillment. He is to find satisfaction. He is to find what Paul said, contentment. I am content in whatsoever situation, whatever state I'm in. He is to glory in not what he has, but he is to glory in who he is. I believe that there he is in the family of God. He is in the household of God. He is an heir to the throne of God. And he says, in that we glory, in that I glory and praise God for who I am, what Christ has done for me. Woo, that's good. And in our society today, when we look around in our world, there are people who are pursuing all kinds of substitutes for this. They're looking for satisfaction. They're looking for some kind of life, some excitement in life. And here it is. It says, in exaltation, meaning that it belonging to the household of God. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, that's good. I love that. We don't have to go and work for it. We don't have to go and try and compete with somebody or compare ourselves with somebody. But in a quiet place, know God. And I just praise God for this fellow, this church here. Well, it's not up there now, but we preach Christ. We preach Christ crucified, risen, and coming again. That's it, folks. You want contentment? You want to find full satisfaction in this life? There it is. There it is, and it's great. Well, we got to go on here. His position was exaltation. He found and experienced the reality. The object of his contentment was a high spiritual placement. And even though he was a brother of low degree, he had it made. He was on the in. He knew God. And there he found glory. And we find many scriptures that tell us that God, Revelation, I know thy poverty, but you are rich. Isn't that good? God doesn't look on the outside, and sometimes we get it all head up with, we got to look all pretty, and we got to do all this, and we think we're really going to gain brownie points and so on. God says, that doesn't count. We need to be proper. We need to be orderly. We want to look decent and all that. But the reality of contentment is not there. It isn't. And I don't care who he is, whether he's a king or a queen or president or prime minister or wherever we want to go, to the pope, and we go to the priest, and we go to the pastor, and we go to anybody. But it's Jesus. It's the Lord Jesus Christ and the exaltation that we find in the relationship with God. Oh, that's good. Well, and many other places too in Scripture where it talks about God has chosen the poor of this world to be rich in him. And then let's look at this next sentence there. But the rich, verse 10. But the rich in his humiliation. The full sentence there is, let the rich man glory in his humiliation, because when he has come that route, then he is going to find exaltation too, not in his riches, but because he has let those riches go. Yeah, think again with me. It says in verse 9, let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich And that part is left out of there. It's understood. But the rich, let him glory, not in his riches, but let him glory in his humiliation, which means that he's going to find the glory. He's going to come to the same place at the foot of the cross that the lowly brother did, because he has let go of all that stuff that he thought was going to bring him contentment. And here's my point. Again, like I started up with sin. How many people are looking for contentment, and they've got a whole pile of baggage that they're bringing to God and say, God, would you bless me in this? Oh, I got all this good stuff, God. I'm going to help you with this, and I'm going to be a good Christian. I'm going to participate in church and all that kind of stuff. But we have never come to the humiliating act of saying, God, I'm going to let that old life go. Let it go. Leave it. Because God doesn't need my whatever baggage that I want to bring along. I love that truth when he says, let the rich man glory in his humiliation. And humiliation to me means that he let it go. He said, no more of this. And I believe that today, I don't mean to be harsh, but I believe today that there are many Christians today in the church who have all kinds of trappings, and they say, I need this and I need that, and they are not willing to let it go. To let it go. God doesn't need that. He wants us, as we've heard even this morning during the communion time, it's that intimate relationship with God that Jesus Christ has fulfilled it, and we cannot add anything to it. We can come to him, cast ourselves on him, and say, God, I want your plan. I want to go with you. We were listening to a tape yesterday coming to the city. I don't even remember what the fellow's name was. But he was a missionary from Africa. He'd been in Romania. He'd been in several parts of the world. And he was appalled. He was appalled at the worldliness in the gospel churches that he met. He was talking about the States, I believe. The worldliness, the things that we allow. And he mentioned things like dress and language and pictures or movies or whatever that we watch and so on. And he said, we want to be so close to the world that the world doesn't know the distinction between us. And I thought, how awful. Here we are, we're supposed to be the redeemed, we're supposed to be out there reaching to others. But we're trying to find contentment, we're trying to find meaning in the very things that the world is trying, and God hates that. And if we want to come into a deeper walk with him, we're going to have to be like this rich man and allow God by his grace to show us where it's at and to humiliate us, that we will come through that path of humiliation, of total resignation to him. God, it's all about you. Yeah, we've often heard that saying, eh? If I have everything but Christ, I have nothing. Oh, pardon me. If I have everything but Christ, I have nothing. If I have nothing but Christ, I have everything. I can let go. And God helping me, that's been my prayer for myself and wherever at Keewaytin, to see, to understand that contentment and fulfillment and satisfaction in life doesn't come from the world. We need to go to where it's really at. The one verse of that song we sang, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, the second verse, I'll tell you, if the Lord had been in reality, he'd have just gripped my heart and just squeezed it. If you remember what the second verse, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, says, Forbid it, Lord. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast save in the death of Christ alone.
all the vain things that charm me most. And this rich man had an awful lot of things that charmed him. But he came to the point, not anymore. I sacrifice them to thy blood, to his blood. All the vain things that charm me most. And my prayer is that God would wake us up. You know, I don't know you folks and where you're at. But I know this. God has chosen and directed in my life to, and I'm still on the road. I'm still seeking to find that, the reality. And I'd like to close with a bit of a testimony that just a few days ago. Excuse me. Was my, you might say, my 40th spiritual birthday, although I was saved before that. But on March the 11th of 1970, God opened my eyes in a way that it still seems like just a few minutes ago, and showed me the reality of who he was, who he is. And for these last 40 years now, my desire has been that I not just live for him, but that I might be some kind of a voice out there. Because we're living in a time when I sometimes almost, we talk to church history about the persecution that happened to the Christians back there, and a lot of the persecution that's still happening today in some of these countries. And my prayer has almost, not quite, Lord, would you send persecution to our churches in North America and Canada? That we will get down on our knees and recognize the reality of what Christ has done for us. And don't try to play games with God. And during that time of my renewal, I came across a poem, a writing. And I memorized that. And that has stuck right in my heart ever since. And my prayer is that God would continue to do that work in my heart, to strip me of that which is not necessary in my walk and my relationship with him. I had walked life's way with an easy tread. I had followed where comforts and pleasures led. Until one day in a quiet place, I met the Master face to face. With station and rank and wealth for my goal, much thought for my body, but none for my soul. I had entered to win in life's mad race when I met the Master face to face. I met him and I knew him, and I blushed to see that his eye full of sorrow was fixed on me. And I faltered and fell at his feet that day. While my castles, they just melted and vanished away. Melted and vanished, and in their place, naught else did I see but the Master's face. And I cried aloud, oh, make me meet to follow the steps of thy wounded feet. My thought is now for the souls of men. I have lost my life to find it again, ere since that day in a quiet place where I met the Master face to face. And that's my prayer for all of us, that we would let go of that stuff that's hanging on, that Satan will stick to us and say, this is it, even as Christians, but we'll let go. And we'll take a long, hard look at the Master's face, the Lord Jesus Christ, who does desire to meet with each of us. Each of us. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you that you cause us to hear what you have said even maybe what I haven't said. And I would trust the Holy Spirit this morning to move in our hearts in such a way that we will know you in a deeper way, that we will be willing to be humiliated or to work through humiliation in the fact of letting go those things that really don't count and know you and walk with you. Lord, the greatest thing ever. We as redeemed have the glory and the presence of a living God and the enabling in this wicked old world to live a holy life. Help us to that end, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.